Tuesday, April 18th, MIT and the broader local community took pause in everyday activities and devoted the day to engage in political, economic, environmental, and social challenges facing us today. It was called the Day of Action. It is the second time that the MIT community undertook organizing such an extraordinary event. The first time they did this was 1 year ago in response to the Trump election. There were workshops and presentations throughout the day and evening, including The Science of Fake News, Who Are We Talking To?, Humanities, the Public, and the Streets, and one of the several that I attended, Understanding and Resisting the Attack on Immigrants. During the question period of that session, an attendee asked about the sense of urgency immigrants are facing under the current administration. Two of the three presenters responded. First, Avi Chomsky, who, aside from having an acclaimed father, is an historian, author, and activist in her own right. And Patricia Montez, executive director of Centro Presente, an immigrants' rights organization in East Boston. First, Avi Chomsky.
When the 2016 elections were approaching, I didn't expect that Trump was going to win, although I wasn't confident that he wasn't going to win, and I was trying to think about what it would mean. And one of the things that I thought about is maybe there's a way in which this is going to be a positive thing for people fighting for social change, because it's going to be more blatant, it's going to be more obvious, the Democrats are going to be less defensive of his terrible policies and terrible statements, and maybe it's a good thing to have our president openly making racist comments, because it's going to wake people up. People who, under a Hillary Clinton presidency, would be complacent, would be saying, oh, but she's the first woman president. Oh, but she's a Democrat, and so let's not criticize her. So that's not really an answer, but it's a challenge, I guess. Can we use Trump's open, blatant discourse? That is, his discourse in many ways is much worse than Obama's or Clinton's, but can we use that in our favor to wake more people up?
I think going back to education, I know that it's not the only thing that we have to use, because in the end we have to change the system, we have to change policies. We as underrepresented do with our own people, because I will say this in Spanish, pero un amigo me dijo un día, no vamos a cambiar el mundo mañana, pero podemos cambiar la esquina donde vivimos. How do you say that in English?
We're not going to change the world tomorrow, but maybe we can change the corner that we live in.
Because I share your frustration. So entonces, in Centro, what we do, we have a literature development training, right? But everybody has a literature development training if you go and ask the organizations. Oh, yeah, we train people about their rights, don't open the door. But we're talking about capitalism with them. We're talking about root causes of forced migration. We're talking about the history of black people in the U.S. Because we Latinos, we also discriminate against black people in the U.S. And we're you know, having that conversation with our own members, right? And I think that's a way to start, you know, liberate. Because there are a lot of immigrants that are members of Centro Presente that now have their papers, and they feel like, I am Americano now, you know? And like, unaccepted, you know, like, I'm one of them. Because we also internalize oppression. No vamos a cambiar el mundo mañana con eso. Y ni vamos a educar todos los miembros del centro. But some people are going to change their minds, I think.
Patricia Montez of Centro Presente. Another presentation was on the environment and hosted by MIT professor Kenneth Zepek. It was called Policy Change in Your Backyard: Access to Scientific Data to Be a Climate Change Advocate in Your Community.
Now, one of the things that some people have done is that they have used best case, worst case. Now, sometimes the best case is still a pain in the neck. And so if you go look at the Cambridge Climate Change Vulnerability Assessment, which is one of the best in the world that has been done, they chose one of the lower impact scenarios. And there are some that are higher, but if they had put the higher one in there, it just would have scared everybody. We have to look at how we communicate and what we communicate, because each of those are equally likely. That's part of the problem. So only at MIT would the scientists have the self-confidence to do that. But what the center on campus, which is the joint program for the science and policy of global change, which are climate scientists and economists who have come together because they said the thing that drives the emissions is economics, the thing that drives the climate is modeling and climate atmosphere, but they have to be done together. And they believe that the whole point is it's uncertain, so we have to communicate that uncertainty. So what they did was try to communicate this idea that if we have on the left here is no climate policy at all, and on the right is the equivalent to Paris. And what you see here is there's a tiny blue sliver that says maybe there's like a 4% chance of being less than 3 degrees. On this side, if we go to climate mitigation, there's going to be about an 80% chance of being less than 3 degrees. So we as a society and a planet get to spin this once. Which gamble do we want to take? Do we want to spin this wheel, go forward, spin this wheel, and have 7 degrees happen? Or do we want to go to this wheel where the chance of getting to 4 is much less?
This day-long event was an inspiration for those who organized and those who attended.
My name is Munira Shahbuddin. I'm visiting professor at MIT.
And you're here taking part in Day of Action?
Yes.
What do you think of this whole concept and what's going on here?
I think it's good that MIT is open to the public and also to its students and community to raise awareness about what is happening around the world and also in America, especially in social injustice and inequality.
What have you experienced so far here?
I felt liberating, and also at the same time I feel we need to work more in to prevent social inequality and injustice.
Yeah, I'm actually on the core organizing committee of the MIT Day of Action.
And you're also feeding the activists.
Yeah, we planned this year to feed both lunch and dinner. So lunch was provided by Haley House, which is a nonprofit in Boston. And their objective is to help people, gain skills and be able to become employable and get off the streets. So they run a catering business in addition to the other outreach that they do. So we decided to put our MIT Day of Action money where our mouth is and contribute not only to the feeding of our activists but to a nonprofit organization in town.
Well, so it's a double bang for the buck essentially.
That's what we were hoping to do.
And how are things going today in general? Is the student population taking advantage of all this?
You know what? I wish that we had more students participating, but it seems to be a pretty good clip. We have a lot of folks just coming in to the sessions that they're most interested in participating. There's about 30 concurrent sessions, and we have everything across the globe, whatever people are interested in, whether it's incarceration or vulnerable identities. There's I just sat through the policy change in your backyard. And so there's a lot of opportunity to see a lot of different kinds of things.
Yes, you mentioned Cape Cod being your area of protection.
Yes, I love the Cape. It is my go-to place to recharge and feel good about myself.
It's one of the advantages of living in this area.
It is, in fact, one of the advantages of living in this area. Yeah.
But for the time being, we hope it doesn't go underwater.
That would make me very sad, but I'm really hopeful that, especially here at MIT, you see the best of what we have to offer and, what we have to offer the world and the solutions that we have. And so hopefully we can get that out there.
That was Stephanie Toews-Moling, who works with the Sociotechnical Systems Research Center at MIT. She helped organize this most unusual day at the Institute. Other activists from the greater Cambridge community were out with their own agendas, taking advantage of the gatherings.
I'm a supporter of Bob Avik and the Revolutionary Communist Party, but I'm reaching out to people, whether you're a liberal or whatever, to identify the danger posed by Trump and Pence and how close we are to living in a fascist America. So I'm trying to bring that home to people that this is the time to act while there's still a clear majority that doesn't want to go there.
So you're taking advantage of the MIT Day of Action to try and drum support for this?
Well, I'm appealing to people that do have a sense of conscience and critical thinking about the moment to deeply interrogate what the hell is going on here. It's a very precarious moment, I would say. They just did missile strikes in Syria, which many people didn't even react to. So it's not good that people are desensitizing themselves. The students here, I think, care, and they're having this Day of Action. Definitely want to try to widen the scope of the questioning. There's not going to be a blue wave that's going to save us in November. And even if the Democrats take back Congress, There's no saying they're going to actually confront what Trump represents. They're more likely to try to, again, find the middle ground. Even Elizabeth Warren, believe it or not, voted for more funding for ICE recently in the congressional budget. And that may shock a lot of people in Massachusetts, but they're not doing what needs to be done.
I'm Judy Zombrecker, and I'm with the League of Women Voters of Massachusetts. I'm the voter service chair, and we focus on registering voters and helping educate voters so that when they go to vote, they can make good decisions. We also promote elections so that people know when they are, and we want to get people out to vote.
So you help people make informed decisions rather than having them vote against their own self-interest.
That's what we help, yes. We're nonpartisan, so we do not endorse any particular candidate or party.
And why are you here at MIT today?
We were invited by Margaret Ann Gray, who is helping organize this. Taking action is being registered to vote and voting, so she thought, who better than to get the League of Women Voters down here to help register people.
And how's the day been going for you so far?
We find most people are registered to vote, so we find that a very engaged population, but we have registered a few people to vote, and we've given out some information on how to do it online.
Excellent. And what do you think of this concept of MIT Day of Action?
I think it's a really great idea. I thought the agenda was really interesting, and it's a good way to kind of keep in front of people that it's not just one single march or one event, that you got to keep working at making things work in our democracy. As a little sign here says, is that democracy is not a spectator sport. And so I think this is a great way to have people engage and think about things and be involved.
Returning now to the sessions at the MIT Day of Action, here's an excerpt from Perils of Democracy, hosted by MIT economist Darun Esamoglu and Harvard political scientist Daniel Ziblatt. During the question period, they were asked about potential regulation of social media as a way of preventing what happened in the 2016 election. Professor Esamoglu responded.
The first time you say regulation of the media, I become extremely concerned because I've lived through, you know, Turkey, Venezuela, Russia, and, you know, but on the other hand, you know, perhaps all of these new technologies require different mindsets in terms of dealing with them. But I don't think whatever regulation you do, you're not going to be able to overcome the fact that people who want to manipulate and spread incorrect or biased news are going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to stop them. And my guess is, I don't know, there are some studies, but I wouldn't know the exact comparison, but my guess still would be that the effects of Fox News is much greater than all of the Russian trolls on the psyche of the American public in making them believe things that they shouldn't believe.
Organizers of the MIT Day of Action felt that they were in complete guidelines with MIT's own mission statement, which reads in part, quote, to bring knowledge to bear on the world's great challenges. From MIT, I am Chuck Rosina.